Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, good morning. And we're continuing the Jesus Is series. Do want to remind you, this Wednesday, first Wednesday, Joe McGee. How many of you are planning on coming to hear Joe McGee this Wednesday? Come on, man, you don't want to miss that. It's going to be incredible. And it's a great time to bring somebody with you. Somebody that doesn't know God or does know God. It is just an incredible time. Joe McGee is just, number one, he's hysterical, but he will help you in matters of family. Anybody need some help with their family life? No, y'all are perfect. I'll talk to your wife. I'll find out the truth, you know. Or no, the fact of it is you'll be greatly blessed. So make sure you make it a priority to be here this Wednesday at First Wednesday with Joe McGee. This morning, I want to talk to you as we continue the Jesus Is series about Jesus is the baptizer. Now, we're going to approach a subject today that sadly is controversial in the church, and it's Jesus being the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Just to be really honest with you, I have to be, you know, I'm from a Catholic background, and church was a little calmer to me than y'all. Anybody came from a calmer background than this? Great, wave at me. Now, let me ask you an honest question. How many of you, when you started coming to a church like this, thought, what's wrong with you people? Right? Why do you raise your hands? What, someone like holding you up? What's with you people? And so you have a lot, I had a lot of preconceptions or misconceptions about God. Now, when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit, let me ask you another question. How many of you have ever heard about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues? Raise your hand, wave at me. How many of you, like me, when you heard about it, you thought, that's weird? Okay. Now, because of those issues that we have, and a lot of those are because things that you've seen are caricatures of people who have experienced that Bible experience. But I want you to understand something about the Holy Spirit. He's not divine wind or an influence. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And he's not weird. There's nothing weird about God. Now, people sometimes can be weird, right? People can be weird, and they give their lives to Jesus, and now they know Jesus, and they're still weird. Weird's hard to fix, and sometimes people respond to God in a way that's a little weird, and so what it results in is you making an evaluation about God. Don't ever judge God through the lens of people. That's a very poor decision. In fact, when you understand today, and it's my hope, not just to teach you a message about the Holy Spirit, Jesus being the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, the word baptize means to immerse. But it's my hope today that you experience that experience for yourself. So this church is a place where you experience God, not just learn about him. Let me read to you what John the Baptist said about Jesus in Matthew chapter 3:11. He said, I, John, baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize or immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus said, listen now, that John said, Jesus will be the one who is going to immerse you in the person of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said these words. This is after his resurrection. He said, behold, I send. Everybody say, I send. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus said, I'm sending you someone. My peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give. See, the world can give you your peace and it takes it away. Jesus said, I give you a peace that is not a feeling of tranquility. I give you a peace called the person of the Holy Spirit. I leave you my peace. The comforter, the scripture said, which is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would send to you. The comforter, that word in its full meaning in the Greek language talks about it carrying these meanings as well. The comforter, the counselor. How many of you'd like some counsel from the Holy Spirit of God, directly from God himself? How many of you could use some of that? Do you know that it also means he's your helper? How many of you'd like to have him standing beside you, being the one called alongside to help you? He is your intercessor, your advocate, your strengthener, and your standby. Jesus said, I am sending him to you. Now, if you received a package this week and it legitimately was from Jesus, the Son of God, it came to your house, signed for this package. Who's it from? Jesus, the Son of God. And it's not, you know, it's real. He somehow, you know, he can put a package in the mail. How many of you would sign for the package? Because he sent it to you. How many of you would say, no, that's weird. No, I don't trust him. No, return to sender. Do you know how many Christians, I feel an Elvis coming on. Return to sender. I just felt it coming. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I hear voices. Do you know how many people have said to God about the Holy Spirit, return to sender? Take it back. No, I'm a Christian and everything, but I'm not into the Holy Spirit. He's God. If you're into God, you're into him. Now, what you may not be into is weird, and that's okay. But I would suggest you're probably a little weird anyway. And by the way, if you come to this church, just a hint, they think you're one of us anyway. So you might as well get all of God there is to have, because everyone thinks that you already, if you come here and went for him as well. Because you say, well, I don't do all the stuff y'all do, but people think you do because we tell them. No. Now in Acts chapter 1, listen to what Jesus is saying about the promise of his Father, the Holy Spirit. This is right before his ascension. And let me tell you who's present here. All the apostles and Jesus, Mary's mother's present. This experience, the mother of Jesus experienced. Now, that may not mean a lot to some of you, but I was raised Catholic. And I got to tell you something. In my upbringing, Mary was a big deal. Some of y'all may not understand that, but how many of you have ever done this? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you have ever done that in your life? Raise your hand. How many of you have never done that? This experience, Mary had it. Mary had this experience as well. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus said, and when they were assembled together with him, with them, he commanded them that not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is sending you the person of the Holy Spirit as he did in the early church. For he went on to say in Acts 2, when after the experience had occurred, Peter said these words. He said, for the promise, referring to this wonderful experience called the baptism with the Holy Spirit sent by Jesus. This promise, he said, is for you. It is for your children. It is for your children's children. And it is for as many that are afar off that the Lord our God will call. How many of you know that's you and me? We were afar off from that day. This promise is for you. And the question is, are you going to return the sender? Are you going to send it back? I don't think you. How many of you think you ought not send back the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit? Now look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This is the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit on what was called, what we know was on the day of Pentecost. That's why this is called a Pentecostal experience. And this is what happened in the scripture when the Holy Spirit fell on these Jewish believers that Jesus commanded to wait. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent, mighty wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them or gave them the utterance. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, this supernatural occurrence occurred where they began to speak in an unknown language to them. It was not unknown to the people in Jerusalem. If you read the book of Acts, you'll find out when they went out into the streets and began to speak in those languages, they actually were preaching the gospel where people heard the word preached in their own language from people who did not know their language. the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but is that still for today? My Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He didn't stop baptizing with the Holy Spirit. He's the same. He's unchangeable. So you find the initial outpouring where God demonstrates his will to fill the believer with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But at that time, only Jewish people were coming to Christ. In fact, there was a belief in the early church, you'll find when you read the Bible, that they didn't believe anybody but a Jew could be saved. But God moved supernaturally and spoke into Peter's life through literally through a vision. And spoke to him and said, you go preach the gospel to these people while I'm going to send you. And Peter, when God sent him, he said, Lord, I will not go into the house of a Gentile. Those people are unclean before you and I won't do it. He said, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed. And then God was about to bring to pass the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon a group of people that were not Jews. Now, my Bible says, and I love this part of it, and it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, that when it tells you that these group of people were Italian. They really were. It's in the Bible. I'm not making it up. Cornelius. Now, this isn't in the scripture, probably not biblical, but I don't care. I think his last name was Nuzzo. I don't know. I can't prove that, but you can't disprove it either. And the Holy Spirit's about to ruin Peter's message. Listen to what he does. He's preaching out of these Gentiles, these Italian people that don't know God. And while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, which is the Jew, which believed, were astonished, as many as that came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, how did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So now you see two places in the Bible where people are filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. Now, here's something very interesting. These were two initial outpourings to identify the will of God upon two people groups. Every other instance in the scripture, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts 19, you find the people having to receive the Holy Spirit either prayerfully by asking or to have someone pray for them. And it talks about in Acts 8, I'll just quote it to you. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them. The Bible said in Acts 8 that with one accord, they gave heed to those things which Philip spoke, both hearing and seeing the miracles which were done. And many that were possessed with unclean spirits were delivered. And many that were sick and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John for them to pray for them, that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. And they laid their hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 9, we find the apostle Paul, known then as Saul of Tarsus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now at this point, he was not a believer. He was actually imprisoning Christians. In fact, he was standing, holding the cloaks of those who murdered the first martyr of the church, Stephen. And Paul consented to his death. This was not a good man. And while he was on his way on the road to Damascus with authority from the chief priest to arrest Christians and imprison them and put them in places ultimately that could lead to their death, he has an experience where a light from heaven knocks him off his horse. And he looks up and he can't see because of the Bible says because of the glory of the light that shone around him. And he was blinded by that light. And he looked up and he said, who are you, Lord? And God spoke to him audibly and said, I am Jesus who you persecute. And Paul was led blind into the city. And he had given his life to Christ right on the road to Damascus. But he can't see, the Bible said, by his own testimony because of the glory of that light. And he's now in the city. And then a man named Ananias, who was not an apostle but a common disciple, God supernaturally speaks to him and tells him where Paul is. He said, now you go pray for him. And listen, and this man Ananias said, Lord, no. This guy, here's how we'd say it today. He's crazy. He's killing and imprisoning people like me. But God dealt with him. He said, you trust me, you go. And let me pick it up when he prayed for Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, hath sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And now, but it doesn't say anything about Paul speaking with tongues. But Paul, of his own testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, said this, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." Paul, by his own testimony, said that's what he received. Now, if you know anything about the church of Corinth, church of Corinth is why people don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because they were crazy. They would come to church and just speak in tongues to one another. And Paul said, people think you're nuts. Well, in King James, they'll think you're mad. That's our term for people think you're crazy. So people would say, well, Pastor John, if you have this experience, why don't we ever hear you speak in tongues? Because the Bible, primarily, this is a devotional gift. Now, there is a public usage, but and I don't have time to teach that, but that's only when it's to be interpreted. But it is primarily a devotional gift. The Bible says this, when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit prays by the Holy Spirit in you. One scripture says, you are praying out divine secrets to God. When I pray in the Spirit, the Bible says, my mind or my understanding is unfruitful. But he said, but my spirit, by the Holy Spirit in me, is praying. Paul said this in Corinthians. He said, I will pray with the Spirit or in other tongues, and I will sing with the Spirit in other tongues. It is primarily a devotional gift. In fact, Romans tells us this, that when you don't know what to pray for as you ought to pray, the Spirit himself will make intercession for you with groanings which cannot be put into articulate speech. Do you know there's a way to pray that you can? Not one time in all these many years since I've been walking with God, not one time have I ever prayed, ever one time in my life when I was praying about something. I prayed the best I could in English, and then I finished worshiping God, praising God, and praying in other tongues. So why? Because I don't know everything. And my Bible tells me that when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit is built up. It says that when I pray in other tongues, that I'm praying out divine secrets, that the Holy Spirit himself will make intercession for me according to the will of God. Now, I can't imagine anybody saying, return to sender. Now, you might say, but that tongues thing scares me. Can I tell you what should scare you? Not having the power of God in your life ought to scare you. This world is dark and ever darkening. I don't know about y'all. Anybody have any trouble come in their life? Am I the only one? How many of you would like to have the helper, God himself, living on the inside of you in fullness? And you say, well, you mean if I'm a Christian, I don't have the Holy Spirit? No, you do have the Holy Spirit. You are born of the Spirit when you receive Jesus. And certainly the Holy Spirit of God is in you. But this is a second and subsequent experience to being born again or receiving Jesus. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. This is the beginning of the church at Ephesus. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? First question he asked. Now, he thought these were followers of Jesus. What is the first question he asked them? Hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit yet? First question, not second, not third, not fourth, not how's your cousin doing? When you received Jesus, have you received the Holy Spirit since? And here's what they answered. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Well, Paul said, John's baptism, that's John the Baptist, was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized. That means they received Jesus, and now they're baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and they were all the men were about 12. 3.5 years later, this 12-man group turned into 25,000 people. My Bible tells me when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it gives you power to be a witness. Now, people say things like this, and I understand people are welcome to opinions, but you know, opinions can be full of ignorance as far as scripture. I've heard people say this over and over again. I've actually read blogs. And a lot of blogs are just somebody that's really silly sitting in their underwear in a basement. You know that, right? But the day of the mega church is over. And I think, do people not understand that this church on average attendance has 3,000 people coming on a weekend? Do you know how many people got saved the first day, the first day of the church, the first day in Acts chapter 2? How many? 3,000. We're 23 years old as the church. They got there in 30 minutes. We're behind the curve, boys and girls. This is not ahead of the curve. We're behind the curve. The church at Ephesus started with 12. Count them, 12. 12 people, 12 men. 3.5 years later, there's 25,000 people following Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, being a witness. Let me tell you something. You don't go from 12 to 25,000 unless some people are getting some people saved. And there wasn't any church they came from. They didn't come from the church down the street. There was no church down the street. There was the worship of the goddess Diana, where they had temple prostitutes. So our culture's so bad. Well, look, most people don't go to church and have sex with prostitutes in our culture. You talk about a licentious, broken city sexually. It was a port city of Ephesus. It was messed up. Now, I can tell you one thing about worship at the temple of Diana. People did not come late to church. All right, that was, thank you, Jesus. Can't you feel it? Hallelujah. But look what Paul wrote to this same church at Ephesus. Chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verse 17 and 18. He said, therefore, do not be unwise. When the Bible tells you don't be unwise, that's a hint. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if you want to be wise, what do you need to understand? God's will. Do not be drunk with wine, because it will ruin your life. How many of you know that's true? So I don't know if that's true. It will ruin your life. And anyone who's ever been drunk, and I haven't always been a Christian, I have been, that's how they say, inebriated. And let me tell you, you talk about a pathway to stupid. Anybody ever, how many of you know, New Year's Eve, all the amateur drunks go out. I mean, just do stupid stuff, right? He said, do not be drunk with wine. But listen to what he said. It will ruin your life. But be filled with the Spirit. What's he saying? There's something you should be drinking that will do just the opposite of what alcohol will do to someone who becomes addicted to it and gets drunk all the time. He said a drunkard, we don't have to read the Bible to know what alcoholism and addiction does to a life. It destroys a life. He said, as a believer, I want to teach you to drink a new wine. I want to teach you how to drink living water that doesn't have to be replenished. A water that will bring life to you and not death to you. A water that will give you wisdom and not cause you to be foolish and stupid. A water that will bring purity into your life instead of impurity. A water that will make you whole sexually instead of broken sexually. And that's what he's talking about. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day he was preaching, he said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out and said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him should receive. Whom those believing in him should receive. In whom those believing in him, say it out loud, should receive. Don't return to sender. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The question for you and me to answer today, are you thirsty for living water? I'm not talking about being weird and some religious freak. I'm talking about God, the Holy Spirit, filling you to where you experience this marvelous gift of worshiping in the Spirit, worshiping in other tongues, having a language unknown to your head coming out of your spirit, out of your mouth. It is a marvelous thing. And I'll tell you, I've become so accustomed to it, I just can't imagine life without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, so many people push away. And Jesus said, I send you. And people say, no, thank you. I want to encourage you today. If you know Jesus, It is so important that you receive. Now, let me just take a moment and share with you my experience. I wanted to give you the word first. And so my mom gave her life to Christ through what was called the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And she came to the Lord through that movement. And it actually started right here in Pittsburgh in Duquesne University. Literally multiplied millions of Catholics around the world were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Multiplied millions. And I thought, you know what? Since a move of God like that started in Pittsburgh, why not another one? Come on, man. Why not another one? Why not God do something great out of Pittsburgh? Again, why not? And so she gave her life to Christ through that movement and was filled with the Holy Spirit, started to read her Bible, started to go to churches like this one, and drug me to some of those churches with her. And so I gave my life to Jesus, and she led me to the Lord. And then time went by, and I was about 16 at this a couple years later, and I had developed a boil on my right eye. A boil is like a pimple times 1,000. I know, it's nasty, but listen, if you're trying to lose weight, I'll help you right here, all right? You won't want to eat for a week. I had about 7, 8, 9 of these, one after another, very unpleasant thing to have. Well, this one's on my eyelid. It looked like you slid a ping pong ball in my eyelid. That's how big it was. Every time my heart would beat, it felt like you hit me in the head with a hammer. It was very, very painful. Now, I'd had enough of them to know there was a progression before it could be either lanced or broken open and drained. Special, huh? But I was in so much pain. I asked my mom, could we go to the doctor? Is there something they can give me for pain? So we go to the doctor. Whatever they gave me, whatever it was, I don't remember it helping at all. And finally, it's about 1, 2 in the morning. My mom's staying up with me, putting hot compresses on my eye over and over again, trying just to make the pain be lessened. And she said, well, I'm going to go to bed now. And she puts on the television for me. Now, this was back before cable. This was back when there was something called UHF. How many of you are young enough to never, you don't know what UHF is? Wave at me. Bless your heart. That's so sad. It was long before cable. And it was this little dial above the main dial that had like 80 little things, and it would go da 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 da. How many of you remember that? So my mom is looking, had that weird little antenna on the back, and so my mom finds on channel 53 on UHF the 700 Club. Now, most of you know what that is, and it's a Christian program with Pat Robertson. She goes to bed. So I'm watching this program. I can't sleep. I'm in pain. I didn't care. I'm just laying there. And he and this black man, Ben Kinchlow, are praying together and sharing the gospel and talking about stories of faith. And then they start praying for people. And they're having what the Bible calls a word of knowledge, which I thought, what is, they're saying, and the Lord's healing somebody and they've named some condition. And I've heard people make fun of this. Do you know the Bible says this? That the things of the Spirit of God, the scripture said, the natural man won't receive them because they're foolishness to him. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. Be very careful what you make fun of. Because what is foolish to you, God in fact said, I will use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. In fact, he said, when I call people in ministry, he said, not many that I call will be mighty. Not many that I call will be noble. Not many that I call will be these abundant, brilliant people. I will call the weak and the base things of the world, things that are nothing, to bring to nothing people who think they're something. And so if you have a call of God on your life, these are the Greek words that are pointing toward you, words that mean moron. That's what it means. Comatose. Those are the words that he pointed to the people he called. And he said, because I want to call people who are dependent on me. And he said, and I'll move in their life and I'll bring them my wisdom and I'll bring them my power and I'll bring them my strength and they will bring to naught the wisdom of the wise. And so they're giving what the Bible calls words of knowledge. And then Pat Robertson looks at the television. I found out years later when I was on a Christian television interview that in Pittsburgh at that time, these were 2-week tape delayed broadcasts. This was done 2 weeks ago. And here's what Pat Robertson said. He said, there's a 16-year-old boy watching with a boil on his right eye and God wants to heal him. And I was, I, I out loud, I said, "What?" And he repeated it. I'm talking to a tape delayed broadcast. I didn't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Here's all I did. I just went, okay. I was just completely overwhelmed. And then he went on and on. And then finally he said, if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ask God to fill you. And I thought, okay. I don't know what that means though. Here's all I know about the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. That's my knowledge of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know, but I knew he's good. Because every time I prayed as a Catholic kid, you'd say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And then you'd pray. We prayed over our food. Some of you won't remember this because you're not Catholic, bless your heart. But here's the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Bless us, O Lord, and these I guess are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ, our Lord, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And we ate a lot. So every time I prayed, I said, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. So somewhere in me, I thought, well, he's good. So at least I didn't return to sender. So here's all I knew to do. Okay. See, if you would have asked me, pray, I wouldn't have said anything to God intelligible. I wouldn't have talked to God from my heart. I would have said something like this. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, holy. Amen. You say, well, what were you doing that for? I didn't know what else to do. Can I tell you something? God's not looking for people that know everything. He's looking for people that are hungry for him, that will yield to him. And so I just simply said, okay. As I lay there, and then I can't explain exactly what happened. I don't remember it all. But here's what I do remember. It felt like someone threw a blanket. I felt like something fell on me. But it was not a something, it was a someone. And I find myself praying and speaking out in this language. It felt like 2 or 3 minutes. It might have been longer, but I fell asleep. But when I woke up in the morning, the boil was gone. Gone. Now, my family goes to church here. Trust me. You don't get rid of a boil overnight, particularly one that's not yet ripe. Because once it's lanced, it takes a long time for the thing to drain and dry up. Gone. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You can make fun of spiritual things. You can laugh at spiritual things. You can find out either in this life you were being foolish or when you're dead. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. And I'm all for education. I really am. I've gone into significant debt to do it for my children. Okay, I get it. But can I tell you this? Don't you ever educate your head at the expense of your heart. God isn't going to be found in a book, in a school. He doesn't look upon the mind of a human being. He speaks to the heart of a human being. And God wants to fill you with his Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, we'll close. Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him knock and knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread of any among you, will he give him a stone? If among you that's a father, would you give your son a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Anybody here would do that to their kids? Anybody giving serpents instead of fish? Stone instead of bread. How about this one? Or if he asks for an egg, would you offer him a scorpion? Any parents here that we need to call CYS on? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What is your responsibility in being filled with the Holy Spirit then? Ask. What else do I have to do? Ask. That's it. And trust that he's a good father. How many of you parents, your kids have enough confidence to know that you know how to feed them? Raise your hand. How many of your kids ever woke up in the morning when you made breakfast for them and they said, did you poison my food? No. How many of your kids wake up and complain when there aren't things in the house to eat? Huh? Nothing to eat at home. Right? They expect it. Here's what he said. If you know how to, listen to me, we're closing. If you know how, if you know how, if you know how to feed your children, how much more does your Father know how to give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? It's not your business to figure it out. It's not your business to figure it out and stick it in your small head. It is your business to trust your Father and to open your soul to him and say, Father, fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. That is your responsibility. It is his job to know the know-how, how to get you the Spirit and to give you the glorious experience of worshiping him in other tongues. In a moment, I'm going to give you some instruction. We're going to close very differently today. In a moment, I'm going to give you an invitation to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our worship team's going to make their way back up here, and we're going to finish in just a time of worship. And when I give you the final instruction, for many of you, I'm going to invite you to be dismissed, and you can go on your way if you'd like. But I'd ask you to leave very reverently and quickly if you could, because people around you will be singing and worshiping. But I want to give you the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Here's how we're going to do it. It's very simple. In a few moments, once I pray for you, we're going to go back into worship. And I'm going to ask those who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to simply come forward. Don't come up to the front here. Don't do that. We're going to have prayer partners up here in a moment. Just fill in the aisles, all four aisles, with just walk in those aisles and stay there. And we're going to worship together there for a little bit. And I'm going to pray for you right where you're standing. And then if any of you are having any concerns or thoughts or questions, then right after I pray for you, all you have to do is make your way up to one of the prayer partners that will be here, up along the beginning parts of the wall, and right here in between these two sections, you can walk right over to them and they'll give you more instruction and pray for you. But before you can receive the Holy Spirit, you have to know that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Would you bow your heads with me today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to invite Jesus into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I will pray for you right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. Please include me in that prayer. I want to make Christ the Lord of my life. Would you simply raise your hand right where you're at right now and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you so much. One last moment. If you didn't yet raise your hand, you desire to be included in that prayer, say, Pastor, pray for me as well. Just lift your hand and I'll pray for you as well. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. One last moment, I'll wait on you. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, listen, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. And you will receive the free gift of eternal life. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart. I open the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.